Good morning. Great to see you all. And I just wanted to say one other thing, too, because this is the Community-Based Public Health Caucus and because of the Kellogg Health Scholars Program, because Florence was the community mentor to one of the last set of scholars, Barbara Baccaro. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of lift the Community Health Scholars Program up, too, because of the impact it's had on so many of us academic and community members. Nothing to disclose. So, of course, this session is on the benefits of partnership, and we really wanted to... I'm sorry, I need to put my glasses on. I didn't have to do this the first time I presented at APHA, but now I do. we have this very wonderful kind of multidisciplinary partnership that is at the heart of the project that we're talking about today. So El Pueblo, of course, is our major community partner that's helped put this together. But we also have a very diverse university partnership involved in this. So we have, you know, we cross many disciplines. We have social work, and if Mimi Chapman, the PI, is in the room, I don't see her. Oh, there she is. She's our PI. She's here from social work. And we have Jeannie Yang, who's here also from public health, and Carrie Thatcher, our master's graduate student, who helps tremendously in this. But we also have social psychology, art history, English, the Institute of Arts and Humanities, medicine, all involved in this partnership at the university level, which is pretty interesting. And then very centrally, we are partnering with Latino and Latina youth to carry out this project. And so we want to, we'll describe them a little bit further down the line. But also just a note, as you look at this presentation, all of the photos in it were taken by the youth in this project, except at the very end where you'll see them in the photos. And Envisioning Health is a pilot study, and the goal of it is to understand the mechanisms by which visual interventions may change provider perspectives, increase understanding and empathy for Latino adolescents. And to carry out this intervention, there are two parts to it. One is a really interesting facilitated conversation using a series of photographs taken by a photojournalist named Janet Jarman. They're phenomenal photos. If you ever can go look at her website, they're just amazing. And she met this young Latina girl in Mexico 18 years ago and chronicled her immigration journey, has been chronicling it over these 18 years. And Mimi Chapman and our art historian used this facilitated dialogue process to engage pediatric residents in looking at these images and really kind of challenging their own assumptions about that they make about Latino adolescents. And the second part, which is what we're discussing today, is this Photo Voice project that we did that was with Latino youth, having them explore what I wish my doctor knew about my life. And then we did a forum, bringing the residents together with the youth to really discuss findings and think about, you know, how can we make changes to improve healthcare for Latino youth. So why the need for this kind of project? The Seminole Institute of Medicine report in 2002, reported that healthcare providers' diagnostic and treatment decisions, as well as their feelings about patients, are influenced by patients' race and ethnicity, and you know, really found that these differences may contribute to disparities in health outcomes. Other studies have shown that there is implicit bias that exists among healthcare providers regarding Latinos. And also that Latina patients who are foreign-born, not citizens, and who have limited English proficiency are more likely to report experiencing discrimination in healthcare settings.
So in addition to implicit bias, there are so many different barriers that Latinos face in regards to trying to access healthcare. One of the biggest issues is the lack of health insurance. For many Latinos in the community, health insurance is way too expensive, and many Latinos work in fields where they do not receive health insurance as a benefit. The other issue is the cost of healthcare, and many Latinos in relation to health insurance do not qualify for the Affordable Care Act. They do not receive subsidies and cannot participate in the exchange. Another big issue affecting Latinos is lack of transportation, because many of the states where Latinos have been moving to more recently, there's really not a good infrastructure for public transportation. But I would also add that a lot of the anti-immigrant policies that exist in the U.S. right now prevent Latinos who are undocumented and might not have a valid driver's license, a valid social security number, prevent them from actually getting a driver's license, which makes it very difficult for Latinos to get around. So in relation to North Carolina, it's interesting, about 15 years ago when I would attend national conferences, every time I said something about North Carolina, people would say, wait, are there Latinos in North Carolina? I feel like now that conversation has shifted and people really understand that the Latino population has really grown in our state. Between 1990 and 2000, the U.S. Census Bureau documents that the population increased about 400%, and from 2000 to 2010, it increased about 110%. According to studies, about half of the Latino population in the state is foreign-born, and according to other studies, about half of the population might be undocumented, which also exacerbates the barriers that the community faces in regards to accessing health care. The Latino population in North Carolina, like in many of the emerging Latino states, is relatively young, with a median age of about 27. And because the shift has happened very quickly, I guess in the last 20 years, many of the systems, including the educational system, the medical system, and the judicial system, are not necessarily ready to support and address the needs of this community.
Okay, so what is Photo Voice? Many of you know, but if you don't, it is a qualitative research method where you give cameras to participants to document, kind of what are their concerns. The participants or partners, in our case, decide on a series of photo assignments, again, related to that research topic, what I wish my doctor knew about my life. They go out, individually take these photos, come back together in the group setting, and go through this facilitated dialogue process called SHOD, or VENCER in Spanish, that really takes from the most literal of what do you see in the photo to trying to interpret, what is happening, why is it happening, how does it relate to our lives, how can we come together as a group to figure out how to address, what the situation is, what can we do about it. And so we follow this process in each of our photo discussion sessions.
So I would say it was a pretty exciting process. We ended up having 13 youth that were recruited in total to participate in the study or in Photo Voice. 9 of the youth were recruited at El Pueblo or through El Pueblo, which is the organization that I work with, which is based in Raleigh, which is the capital city. And the group in Wake County or Raleigh was pretty mixed. We had a mix of young men and women, ages between 14 and 18. They represented 4 different Latin American countries. They were from Mexico, Colombia, Puerto Rico, and El Salvador. And the group in Chapel Hill, or the Orange County area, was recruited through Teen Voices, a program at Planned Parenthood. And interestingly enough, the group there were 4 men, or 4 young men, 3 from Mexico and 1 from Honduras. And the groups actually came together, met 5 different times over the summer. The first meeting, we ended up having an orientation with our parents just to explain the program. And then each one of the groups selected 4 different photo assignments, and they had about between a week and 2 weeks to be able to take a photo and then bring the photo to the next session to be able to dialogue and share that photo with their team.
So to give you a sense of the differences and some similarities in what the photo assignments were, you can see the list of questions right here. The Teen Voices all-male group wanted to explore, what I wish my doctor knew about how my heritage affects my health, about how crossing the border affects my life, about how my education affects my life, and about how the challenges of paying for health-related things affects me.
And the group at El Pueblo ended up choosing the next four themes, what I wish my doctor knew about what I do every day. I wish my doctor knew about my life before I or my family came to the U.S., about my life right after I arrived here, and about how my gender affects how I relate to the doctor.
So the data collection and analysis was done by a small team, including Florence and myself and Jeannie Yang and Carrie Thatcher. And towards the very end, we were joined by two other doctoral students who had just started at UNC Gillings School of Global Public Health. We audio recorded all of our photo discussions. Carrie Thatcher transcribed them all. And we, you know, coded them using qualitative analysis. We coded the transcripts, and we identified, we began to try to make sense of them and identify emerging themes. We brought these codes and then our emerging themes back to the youth to say, you know, does this make sense to you? Are we getting this right? You know, would you, how would you say this in a way that isn't, you know, the way we're saying it? Please help us with this. And then we, after we'd kind of come to, you know, some agreement about codes and then themes, we met three times with the two groups, going back and forth, sometimes in Raleigh, sometimes in Chapel Hill, bringing them together. And let me tell you, that moment of bringing them together for the first time was just powerful. Two groups from very different of course, some similarities and backgrounds, but some real differences. Bringing them together, trying to figure out how are they going to kind of build a team themselves. And actually, it was the photos that did it. They started looking through each other's photos, and they would say, man, that's deep. And really respected each other's visions related to these photo assignments. But anyway, we met three times to really finalize our findings, to select quotes and photos to present at the forum.
And now comes the exciting part. We'll be talking about the four themes that emerged from our analysis of the transcripts and from checking in with the youth to make sure that we had really gotten what they wanted us to have as a theme.
So the first was the importance of our relationship with doctors. And the theme was, it's hard to develop good relationships with doctors because they don't seem to care about who we are as Latina youth, don't want to know, and don't know how to ask about the experiences that have shaped us or about what affects our daily lives.
And one of the quotes to represent that photo was, so I was just there by myself with the doctor, and I wanted to ask her so many questions, but I felt that it was impossible for me to communicate with the doctor, and I asked her so many questions and so many doubts that I had. So I just turned 11, so like my body was changing, and I needed to ask questions about that. And I felt like really like with that wall in my mouth, I couldn't communicate and get out from that doubt, and it was just because of the language. And I didn't feel comfortable to talk with the translator, so I needed that language to communicate with the doctor, but that was impossible because it was a different language and it was a barrier. The second theme that emerged was the impact of stereotypes. By their own ignorance about us, people in authority view us through a suspicious lens, assume we're up to no good, and expect us to fail. Every time I read that, it gives me,
So here's a quote. But you say something and then they judge you. You just know, like the looks, their posture, nonverbal. So you don't have to say anything. And then they're missing important information about me.
And the third theme that they came up with, is responsibility without power. Our families have sacrificed to provide us with opportunities, but barriers and policies deny them their parental power, and we find ourselves having to play the adult role and advocate for ourselves in school, work, and in life.
I feel like we're more disconnected here, like it's my mom. She doesn't know what goes on in my school. Like, I'm the one who's in charge with my schoolwork. I guess when I was younger, it pissed me off. Because I'm like, why do I have to take care of it? You're my mom. I feel like my own mom. So, like, I guess that bothered me. But then I'm like, well, it's mine. It's for my benefit, not hers. And the final one is language is more than just words. And let me just put in a little note here. The first three that you heard, the youth were like, yeah, you got it, you know, in those themes. That's it. It's perfect. This one, we went over and over and over and over, maybe three or four discussions about what, how did this capture the complexity of their impressions. So here it is. Spanish is an important part of our different cultures and roots, yet our language is often used as a weapon to stereotype Latinos, isolate parents from their children's lives, blame teens, and disrupt family dynamics. So interpretation alone is not enough to solve communication barriers.
And I wrote my first day in the school, and it kind of explains a lot about that. So I wrote how I felt when I got here. Everything was different, and how my mother was feeling bad because I was feeling bad. So all of a sudden, I learned how to speak English and communicate, and I felt powerful because I knew I could do whatever I want, because I can make people listen to what I have to say, and I have control over what I needed to. People listened to what I needed to, what I thought, and everything. So my mom felt happy. But relating to those pictures, I think that eventually that feeling will go away, but it always leaves a scar.
So throughout our work with the youth, they always said, do we really get to talk to doctors? And they did. They really got to talk to doctors at our forum. We had 11 medical residents, pediatric residents, who came to the forum, and 9 medical students. And 12 out of the 13 youth came. One had football practice that he could not get out of. And we kind of reviewed what the photo voice process was. They had an opportunity to meet the research team members and all the youth. The youth each read a very powerful quote in the group. And then we actually used that showed facilitated process with the residents and medical students to have them kind of go through the showed process, discuss the trigger photos, and brainstorm collective action steps.
And so we have a minute left, so I'll do it very quickly. We're thrilled that El Pueblo, that we have the opportunity to continue working with this group of youth. They're very interested in conducting 2 additional forums, or fora. and they actually selected or have talked about wanting to have one specifically with teachers and another one with police or school resource officers, because they recognize that these 2 authority figures don't really respect them and expect them to fail. We're also really excited because the medical school at UNC is thinking and brainstorming about new opportunities for professional development for Latino youth and for engaging them. So they're talking about perhaps developing a peer education program, a shadowing program with providers. And they've also talked about the possibility of having some of the Latino youth that have gone through this process participating in the youth council at the hospital. And they've also talked about incorporating some of the lessons learned from this project into their curriculum for residents, new residents. We know that this will be a slow process, but hopefully it will happen.
And then for our research team, which includes, something spelled wrong, continue to assess the impact on residents. Did this make a difference, these 2 parts of the intervention? Disseminate findings and test further. And then we just wanted to say again, to come back to the benefits of partnership, this incredible partnership involving different disciplines, El Pueblo, a Latino-serving community organization, and the youth, has really raised important issues for us to consider as we try to improve the health of Latino adolescents.
Thank you.